Today on Real Radio.
These children are three times more likely to drop out of high school. 70% of young criminals come out of broken homes. This is a national crisis.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes sense.
So it's devastating. Listen, why marriage? Somebody's going to say, well, it's just a piece of paper. No, it's not. That is just a stupid thing to say.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we're going to hear from Pastor Jack and his wife Lisa today as they address marriage and the many issues involved. Now, I recently had the chance to sit down and engage in some conversations with them on this topic. Now, these insightful discussions were aired on our Monday night TV program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and this week you're going to hear some of those conversations. Now, we're bringing you these special programs for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that marriage, real marriage, is under attack today from all directions. More people are ignoring the biblical model of marriage, while on the other hand, a lot are trying desperately to redefine it, if you will. Well, let's get started with the first of these discussions I had with Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs on marriage.
Welcome to a special edition of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, and we're glad you joined us today. Now, normally, Pastor Jack sits in the interviewer seat and does the interview, but today we're going to put him and his lovely wife, Lisa, in the hot seat. We're talking about marriage. You know, marriage is a God thing. Marriage is a good thing. God likes marriage, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Pastor Jack and Lisa, welcome to Real Life with Jack Hibbs.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
We're talking about marriage. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to talk about practical issues of marriage at the very beginning, and then let's go into talk about what the Bible says about it and see how the practical and the biblical all go together.
Yeah.
Let's get into that.
Absolutely. And, you know, first of all, whenever I hear a program about marriage and stuff, I always think that the people on the other end, they must have a perfect marriage or they got their act together. And the truth is this, marriage is a dynamic. This whole thing today in the culture in which we live in is what's up with marriage, what, you know, the definition of marriage. All of us are working at our marriages. It's a relationship experience. We need to remember that the Bible says that God engineered, God ordained. So I think this is very key what we're talking about, because as our spiritual life develops, our marriages get stronger. And today we're looking at a culture, Davey, that is saying right now, especially the 18 to 30 year olds, they're saying things like, I'm not gonna do marriage.
Yeah.
I watched my parents' marriage fall apart. Why get married? A lot of headaches. You have to work at it, it's difficult. No, we're gonna try something else. We're gonna do, you know, our own thing, which is quite remarkable if you think about it, because at least you and I, Davey, are old enough at this table to remember the hippie days when it was all into test driving marriage.
Yeah.
Test driving a wife or test driving a husband, and then we'll decide. And it led to total family and cultural breakdown. So today what we want to do in the program is to look at some of the stats that are out there and why we need to be careful that we don't throw marriage out because people have done it wrong around us. God's got a plan, and His plan works. We need to look at that.
Now, interestingly enough, and it's actually kind of becoming accepted in a lot of the church, is living together outside of marriage because people say marriage doesn't work.
Right.
Address that, would you?
Yeah, well, first of all, that would be fornication.
Right.
It's wrong. Why? But why is it wrong? Well, it's wrong because you just said it's fornication. No, no, you know, it's really wrong because it goes against what God has established. God created the husband and the wife for a family environment, to raise children up out of that environment and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing them to the Scriptures. And listen, we could go to New Testament passages, but for me, the most foundational is Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible there tells us that we are to train and raise up our kids. When they get up, tell them about God. As they live their life during the day, telling them about God. And when we tuck them into bed at night, telling them about God. And God is the one who says, this is what a marriage is all about. And so for me, what we want to see happen is America turn around. Why? Because America is heading down the wrong path. It's being destroyed. And you can't point at the politicians, really. You can't even point at the school system. Mm. The truth is, you need to point at the family structure. America needs to get back to what made her great in the beginning. And that was a home where moms and dads were committed to one another in marriage. They were committed to the kids. And quite frankly, I hope in this program that we really talk about some things really straight up about making it work.
Yeah.
I think more than ever, husbands need to be told today, because this goes against the church culture. Husbands need to be told today, make your marriage work. Put every bit and more of effort into your marriage than you do in your golf swing mm-hmm. or in your hobbies. Mm-hmm. We need to have men get back to being men in the home, in marriage.
And you know, every man has to admit that if you put 1 cent worth of effort into your marriage, you get 10 cents, 50
yeah,
cents, you get
good.
A dollar's worth back. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
That's very, very good.
How long have you guys been married, Lisa?
Be 35 years in June.
Do you have the perfect marriage?
No. Not by any, yeah, what a shock.
Which is great, because
yeah.
I mean, that's why
but
we're
there
here.
There is no perfect marriage.
No
I mean,
marriage.
Honestly, the only perfect marriage probably has to go all the way back to the very beginning, before the fall, when God first created Adam and Eve together. They had perfect life in a marriage. Since the fall, no marriage has been perfect. Mm. So it does take that work constantly every day and being renewed in the spirit, really, because it's not just the man, it's the woman too, that if, according to Ephesians 5, if we're filled with the spirit, then we're going to be acting in the spirit with one another as Christians. So that's key. That's the element of every day being a Christian is being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Did your folks have a good marriage? Do you remember?
My parents, not split up, but my mother died.
That's
so
right, yeah.
I was a young girl. And so I honestly don't know how. I believe my biological mother, she had birthed 7 kids. So
yeah.
I would assume they had a decent marriage.
Yeah.
But then he remarried and my stepmother, and I think they had a good marriage. I think she lost her husband too. I think they honestly both lost the love of their lives,
yeah.
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They remarried and they made a very difficult situation the best they could. They stayed together, which is awesome. They raised, 9 kids together because she had 2 that they brought in. So I would say overall they were in unity in a blended family, which blended families
yeah.
raise a lot of issues
yeah.
and problems all in themselves.
So that the reason I bring that point up is a lot of folks will say these days, I don't believe in marriage because mm-hmm. my parents didn't have a good marriage.
Right.
Therefore
yeah.
I can't have
yeah.
a good marriage.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And what's sad about that is that they're making a horrible mistake by taking their parents' failure mm-hmm. or failures of some friends, perhaps, and they are actually setting themselves up. They think they're protecting themselves, Davey, from pain and from destruction. They are actually, and I believe this because I'm a Christian and because I read my Bible, I believe that this is one of the last days, end times, works of deception. If, and I believe like Jesus believes, there's a real personal devil.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the satanic plot is to destroy marriage, to destroy the family with a lie, and that is, you'll be better off if you don't get married. Just go ahead and sample people. You can even live together and kind of act like you're married, have all the benefits of, but there's no real deep, true commitment.
Yeah.
And so you can walk anytime you want. Listen, that is pure self-centeredness, and you're setting yourself up to not only live out a lie, the end is never good. Because eventually, somehow, some way, shape, or form, your emotions get involved. One of the two actually wind up caring about the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or, God forbid, but it happens, there's a pregnancy. Well, how do we deal with this? In an environment where there's no commitment, it will lead to either abortion, or it will lead to kids growing up in a home of cohabitation, and there is no real firm structure. And this is a breakdown in promises. It's a breakdown in love. Look, all of us know that marriage, I believe, is a ministry more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to make you happy. It's to make you holy.
Yeah.
That's why God invented it. It's a service. And so I must choose. I must decide. I'm going to live with Lisa in marriage based upon God's design, and she's going to be my mission field. She's going to be the ministry. I believe that happens there first. If kids don't grow up with that, then they're walking on eggshells, as it were, and this marriage could break up at any moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a non-Christian home. My dad, in numerous seasons of life, was unfaithful to my mom. I remember the pain that that caused. Yeah. I remember the hatred that was in our hearts toward my dad, our dad. And it caused us to always have a deep sense of insecurity. Mm. And that's not God's will. God wants you blessed, happy, and He knows what He's doing. The issue is, the young generation today is saying, no, I'm not going to get committed. They think they're doing a smart thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing actually a destructive thing.
And the interesting phrase that you used in there was self-centered.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, the truth is, it's easy to be self-centered.
Simple.
It's not easy
human
to
nature.
Be other. Yeah, yeah. Human nature.
Other-centric, it's not, exactly.
I came up with a great saying, I thought, because, you know, in part of my adult life, I was a single man.
Yeah.
And I'm not. My lovely wife is sitting right over there. Hello, sweetheart. Being single is easy.
It's easy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Being married is better.
Yeah.
I am a better human being because I'm married. Yeah. Do you find that, Lisa?
Yeah, of course. I mean, God created, when He created Adam, He created Eve as a helpmate. Before we started this interview, your wife came over and wanted to make sure your glasses were clean.
Yeah,
so I said, well, there's the perfect example of being a helpmate. Yeah. She came over to help you in areas. So obviously there was something in Adam that God saw in Adam that he needed help. There was something there. So He created Eve for him to help him. Now, I think sometimes women overhelp and want to mother their husbands. In other ways, men refuse a woman's help. So there's those differences in men and women where we come to blows on things, you know, that are just differences in men and women.
Yeah.
But when he was talking earlier, I thought about something I saw in the news. I don't
What's
remember
that?
How long ago, but it was about a contract that people are talking about having when they get married.
Right.
So it's kind of like you lease a car for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically you can be married for 2 years and maybe you'll decide to be faithful for those 2 years. But when the 2 years is up, you can decide whether you want to renew your contract or just call it quits and take off. And no harm, no foul, no big ugly divorce. So they're looking at it as a good thing, that it would be more positive. And
but
it's
even
like,
that number, think of what she just said. 2 years. It's interesting that the fickleness of a relationship, this is a biological fact that when you're interested in somebody and their looks excite you, everything is fresh and new, their hair, their voice, everything about them, their walk, it's all fantastic.
Yeah.
And chemically, that imprint that's going on in that exchange hormonally is a duration period of 18 to 24 months.
Interesting.
That's why you look at Hollywood relationships, they're 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
Why? When the steam evaporates, then you hit reality.
Yeah.
And how convenient, I didn't know what she had just said, how convenient, 18 to 24 months. Well, somebody came up with that number.
Yeah.
Why? Because that is a number that we know of that, you know what, I don't know if I should be together with this person. But you think about this, it's not, marriage is should be based on love. Love is not a feeling. Mm-hmm. The young generation today freaks when you say that, but infatuation is a feeling.
Yeah.
Love is actually a decision. We were talking this morning about how love, the things that surround love, they're all verbs. They're all active words. You have to decide 3 years later or 30 years later that when your husband is sick with the flu or your wife is sick with the flu, you will decide to clean up the vomit.
Mm-hmm.
You will decide to wash the windows.
Mm-hmm.
You decide to go to that movie or go to that restaurant that she likes, even though you like the other one.
Mm.
That's love.
Yeah.
And today, if you're thinking, no, it's all about me, and this person is existing under my roof to satisfy my sexual desires and to make me feel like I'm not alone,
mm-hmm.
it is a masquerade. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
It is not real. And we're lying to ourselves when we set up that kind of environment.
And it's, I was just looking at a statistic here. In 1970, 523,000 couples lived together without being married. In 2010, 7,529,000 couples. That's 7 million more couples in that short amount of time.
That's exactly right.
That just live together. And ultimately, it's the family that suffers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can you address that?
Yeah. You know what? You just said the family that suffers. Here's some stats. And again, for those of you who are watching right now, these are the statistics from Family Life Organization in Little Rock, Arkansas. Great bunch of people. Dennis Rainey. Results, it says here, regarding families and the kids that suffer. Over 40% of all American children are born out of wedlock these days, unwed mothers, 40%.
Do you remember when that was a bad thing?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People were looked down upon.
Yeah, it says here that in 1980, 18.4% of kids were born out of wedlock. Now, in 2010 anyway,
40.8%.
18.4 to 40.8. And it says that these children are six times more likely to live in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not right.
That's absolutely
disgusting. It's not right.
These children are three times more likely to drop out of school or drop out of high school. 70% of young criminals come out of broken homes. This is a national crisis.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes sense.
So it's devastating. Listen, why marriage? Somebody's going to say, well, it's just a piece of paper. No, it's not. That is just a stupid thing to say. It's just a piece of paper. No, God's design for marriage from the Bible, book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. This is interesting, because the verbiage tells us that mankind came out of God. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. It's the only thing that God says was very,
very good.
Once man was installed as husband and wife. And Lisa said something a moment ago, which is very important, is that even though Adam and Eve, or I should say Adam, think of it, was created in perfection. Mm-hmm. We forget that.
Right.
Adam was perfect. He was in a perfect environment, perfect weather, perfect temperature. Everything's perfect. No sin, perfect. God brings to him Eve. And God even says, in perfection, there's a need here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Because we think, need implies deficiency.
Okay.
Well, Adam was created perfect. Eve was created perfect. But they weren't complete, according to God's engineering, until Adam and Eve came together.
Oh, interesting. Never thought of it that
so
way.
So even in the state of perfection.
Yeah.
Oh, she's beautiful. Or he's handsome. Even in the state of perfection, you need the sacrificial love one toward another in what God calls marriage.
So you can't have a perfect marriage living together. You can't have a perfect union living together. There has to be a marriage.
Yeah, there's no way.
And it is the oldest institution, the oldest thing ever created, going way back before the fall, that God created the marriage. Yeah. And there's that sanctity that it's holy, that God put it in place. So it's of God, and it's the oldest institution in the Bible established, and yet the attack on it, on the sanctity of it, what it stands for. I mean, people are so confused, they don't know who they are as a human. Are they male, female? Do I marry a guy? Is it okay to marry a girl and a girl? And what's the issue? Why is this a problem?
God made it simple. God made it simple, and we're just complicating
it. Well, not only is it simple, but God's definition of marriage works, and marriage works. God, listen, if God is put first in the theater that he made, it works. It's not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
Listen, in our culture today, people want easy.
Yeah.
Marriage is not easy. It's not gonna happen.
And the sanctity of marriage is being attacked, and the commitment of marriage, the work at marriage is being attacked. I got a funny feeling that people that are watching this show right now are looking at saying, "Well, I need to work at this."
Yeah.
Would you address that as we close out?
Yeah. You know, we do need to work at it. And when you think about it, not only does God engineer and invent and create and sustain marriage, he communicates to us in the context of marriage. The Bible tells us, for example, that God the Father is married to Israel. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is espoused to the bride of Christ, the church. And marriage is something that we really need to put in the context of God is the author and God will be the finisher of it. And you know that we're, as a culture, in trouble when we begin to take from God the things that he's made and we try to recreate them to suit our desires. And the truth is, our desires are wrong. Our desires mislead. Just because we've been painted a rough or terrible picture of marriage doesn't mean that we throw everything away. The fact is, we find out about it, we learn about it, and we do as God prescribed. It really comes down to, do you know God? Do you understand Him? Do you understand His promises to you? And so that's why we're bringing you this segment of Real Life. It's vital. No matter what your age, you need to be considering the fact that God loves you, Jesus Christ gave His life for you on the cross, and that God has a perfect plan. Look, my friend, mankind and the culture will constantly change things around to fit the fancy of the moment. It never works. We need to get back. The Bible says, don't move the ancient boundaries. And we're asking you to consider, in light of all that's happening, go back to the Bible. Go back to the Scripture. So, as always, it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. God bless you guys.
Okay, we've been listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs and his wife, Lisa, on the topic of marriage. It was a pretty candid discussion on the subject. I had the chance to sit down and host chair, if you will. Now, we're not done. We'll be sharing more of these conversations here on Real Radio, which, by the way, were taken from some of our Monday night television programs called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in the meantime, the entire series of these television programs that were taken from Real Life with Jack Hibbs can be yours on DVD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whatever you contribute helps to keep Real Radio on the air. Just a reminder that we're presenting just a select few of these conversations this week, but the entire 13-part series, including three Q&A programs, are all yours in a 3-DVD set for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, The Real Marriage Series on DVD. Real Marriage on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio...
Listen, as a married couple, I believe my phone, for example, my computers, I have no secret codes. In fact, not only does Lisa know my code, I do have codes, but that's to keep some stranger out of
sure.
my equipment, right?
That's reasonable.
My kids know my passwords. Lisa knows my password. I can't imagine a Christian man, let alone any kind of a man, for example, having passwords hidden from their wife regarding their bank account, regarding their computer. I don't understand that. That is absolutely wrong.
But I talk to women.
Trust that
I talk to women all the time who that's true. I spoke with a lady whose husband actually unfriended her on his Facebook.
You're
because
kidding.
She was looking at him flirting with other women, old friends of his,
yeah.
and he didn't like that. So now she's not allowed to even look at his Facebook. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I hear that are bizarre. I can't imagine exactly what he was saying. It's living a double life, really.
It's a lie.
So how do you protect against that sort of thing? I mean, see, I got a funny feeling right now that there are folks watching this program that are saying, I'm feeling a little bit guilty right now. I think I'll change the channel. Don't change the channel. Stick with us. This is very important. How do we protect our marriages from that stuff?
This may be too basic or maybe too direct, but are you married? Are you under the same roof? Do you eat the same eggs, drink the same milk? Are you in the same bed? Then why should argue with me where something should be separated from that marriage? Oh, well, we don't share finances. Why not? Mm-hmm. We don't share sex with each other. Why not? We don't share that. Why not? You share all these other things. What you're doing is you're acting out something that God never designed. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, you're living out a lie. Because again, if you're not fully committed to this marriage in all areas, then you have a secret life going on. And it's only going to grow because the longer you continue in that course, you're going to have darker, deeper secrets to hide. The end is destruction. And it's destroying families today. It's destroying marriages today. And I tell you what, Christians need to absolutely divorce themselves from that kind of a world.
That's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.